Welcome to Politics and Prose, the podcast focused on people and politics. Gail Dudley, the audacious advocate, is an author and activist committed to evoking an awakening that compels people and communities to move beyond the status quo. Gail has created a platform to introduce fresh voices through interviewing guests who are relevant to everyday life. Politics and Prose will also share aggregated political data and present it in a way that takes communities from being informed to taking action. New episodes air on Fridays. Make sure to follow Gail on Instagram, Twitter, and post.news at Gail Dudley. And subscribe to her YouTube, www.youtube.com/Gail Dudley. Tune in to be informed. And make sure to subscribe to Politics and Prose wherever you listen to podcasts so that you don't miss an episode. Now let's get into it.
Y'all, I have an amazing guest with me this morning. Her name is State Representative Lauren McNally. She is a practical and selfless leader representing Ohio's 59th district, which includes parts of Mahoney and Columbiana counties. The district also includes a substantial amount of the city of Youngstown, where Representative McNally served as the 5th Ward Councilwoman from 2016 to 2022, concentrating on economic development, neighborhood improvements, and infrastructure investment. She is a graduate of Ursuline High School and continued her education at The Ohio State University and Miami University, earning degrees in political science and journalism. She has worked around the country as a journalist for various local NPR stations and offer print media outlets as well. Other print media outlets, as well as various consulting firms as a marketing specialist. Alongside her family, Representative McNally is often quick to step up and give her time generously to lighten the load and enrich the lives of others. She's married to Bryn McNally, she's a mother of four. She's active in her community, having served on several community boards, including the American Red Cross and Women's Junior League of Youngstown. Representative McNally family values stem from a long sense of duty and a legacy of service to others. Her grandfathers were both World War II, say that real fast, y'all, veterans. Her maternal grandfather is a famed longtime principal and legendary high school football coach at Ursuline High School, Tom Carey, while her parental grandfather was a longtime union mill worker and Romanian native who helped several other immigrants to the United States. Representative McNally knows firsthand how educators and good union wages and benefits can strengthen communities. Yes, I read all of that. I missed about a paragraph. We're going to put the link up. I think Isaiah has a link in the banner. We're going to put a link up where you can get all this information, but I needed to read that much because it's important. So with that, I want to bring in Ohio State Representative Lauren McNally. Come on in the room. Come on in the room. If we can get a good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I'm so excited and so grateful that Ms. Sheila was able to connect us so I could get you on here to talk about this. Last week, I started seeing alerts. You know, as a journalist, we get all these alerts that come in. So the Associated Press recently released a story about relaxing child labor laws. And that just set something off on the inside. And I was like, what? So I started digging into it. And here was their quote. It said, lawmakers in several states are embracing legislation to let children work in more hazardous occupations for more hours on school nights and in expanded roles, including serving alcohol in bars and restaurants as young as 14. That set off human trafficking for me. That set off some other things of harassment and so much more. And then it goes on to say, and I'm still quoting, the efforts to significantly roll back labor rules are largely led by Republican lawmakers to address worker shortages. And this law has been proposed loosening child labor laws in at least 10 states over the past 2 years. But I saw Wisconsin, Ohio, and Iowa are actively considering this law now. And they're blaming COVID, okay, as a work shortage. And then the decrease in legal immigration and other factors. But then it said here with Ohio, it said the Ohio legislature is on track to pass a bill allowing students ages 14 and 15 to work until 9 p.m. during the school year with their parents' permission. That's later than federal law allows. So a companion measure asked the U.S. Congress to amend its own laws. Now, I have so many questions, but my first question to you is, yes, like I have so many questions. How can we help stop this bill from progressing? And what are your thoughts on this bill?
It makes me unbelievably sad to see bills like this moving forward. And moving forward, they are. This bill has passed our Senate. It has passed out of committee in the House. It is ready for a floor vote at any minute. It is imperative that people reach out to their state representatives and tell them that this is a bad bill. And why is this a bad bill? Because it's not taking into consideration the actual child, the child at the end of this bill. Lots of times we write legislation without thinking about the human that's going to be affected at the end of the bill. And if you go and listen to the testimony that was had in committee about this, not one person spoke from the child's perspective about this bill when they were speaking in favor of it. Who was speaking in favor of it? The Restaurant Association, the Chamber of Commerce's, the business people. It was all business all the time. Profit over people.
I was getting ready to say that. That's it.
Mm-hmm. And this is just another example of that. And instead of saying, okay, we have a workforce shortage or a workforce issue, how can we address that with adults? We're saying, let's solve it with children. That's a 100-year-old antiquated statement. That is putting us backwards instead of forwards. And especially at the time, violations to our current child labor laws are up almost 40% in the last year alone.
Wow. You know, one thing I thought about immediately, and I'm sorry, I have to go here. Again, human trafficking. I thought about older men or older women in the bars. What type of dress would the students have to wear? How can their parents even sign off on things like this? And then here was one of my major questions, and maybe you can speak to this if you don't mind. How did we not see this bill coming? Is it because we're so focused on the book banning and so focused on the DEI that's being displaced from colleges and universities, all the other stuff, the debt ceiling, which I think is a political game at this moment? We're missing this. I think so many people are focused on the general elections or the election. And then after that, it's like no participation. But I keep saying here on News in Motion, we must stay the course. We must continue to see what's happening, go to town hall meetings, writing our representatives. We had a workshop a couple of Wednesdays ago, right here, Morning News in Motion, on how to write your representatives, what you should say, give some bullet points, how to send that email. So can you speak to that? Because I believe there are so many laws that are slipping by us that we're in an uproar, but they've already passed.
You're absolutely right. And it's on purpose. It's on purpose that bills like this are being crammed in at a time when there's so many other things happening. That this bill passed the Senate at a time that the budget was happening, at a time that SJR 2, the 60% constitutional amendment stuff was happening in the special election in August, at a time when the transgender bill was going on and the dissolving of our state school board bill is happening. So they're putting all this stuff on at the exact same time, hoping that some things will just fall through the cracks of people noticing. And this child labor bill happened to be one of them. When it got to the House, and we started reaching out to people to get their opinions, like the labor unions and such, they were shocked that it had even passed the Senate. It had moved so fast. They weren't prepared for it to move that fast. They didn't. So it's absolutely happening at a very fast pace. And it's on us as the state representatives to make sure that we're putting that information out there as often as we can and as best we can. But then it's on our constituents to absorb that information and decide how they feel about it and do something about it, whichever way they feel about it.
Right. You know, the other thing that comes to mind, I'm thinking about Columbus, Ohio, the problems we're having right here. We have shootings. We have a lot of gun violence. We had, 45 cars, Kia cars that were stolen this past weekend. So if we're opening this up to our young people, ages 14 and 15, will this increase theft? Will this increase violence? Will it increase guns on the streets? I don't know. But these are, again, my connections. And the other thing that I was thinking about, students' grades are decreasing since COVID. So if they're now out until 9 p.m. working at a bar, working at other hazardous occupations, what about their schoolwork? Are we now saying that education is not as important as making sure these businesses are at capacity with employees? I'm concerned and confused at the same time, if I can be honest with you.
On a lot of the exact things that we talked about in committee about this. Number one, who hasn't been asked to work a couple extra hours, hours over? And it's hard to stand up to a boss as an adult and say no. How is our child going to be able to say no to that? Two, we're not expanding public transportation in any way, shape, or form in the state of Ohio. So how are these kids who can't drive even getting home to and from work and to and from work in a safe manner? That's going to be on their parents to do. Why don't we just let their parents go to work? Three, it is very well documented that the longer and more a child works, the more their grades suffer. And those statistics are prevalent, and you can see the direct correlation between that. And so all of the money that we are going to put into the education system here and the mental health system for children here is going to be flushed right down the drain with something like this. We can't say we're prioritizing kids from an education standpoint or a mental health standpoint, and then do this that completely jeopardizes their actual education and well-being. And you're absolutely right. We're already behind when it comes to education from COVID, from the way that we funded education in the state of Ohio over the last 20 years. We're at the bottom of the list in terms of states. When it comes to education in the first place. So that should be our focus, letting kids be kids and develop well into adulthood and then put them to work so that they are mature, capable workers. Instead, we're going to grind them to the ground and burn them out before they even get a chance to succeed in the adult world.
I agree with you. I remember having, and I have a few questions that's coming in from the viewers. I remember working at the Dairy Queen on Sunbury Road in Columbus, Ohio, but it was summer and it was like something like 11 to 2 or something like that. But it was something to do. I made a little bit of money to get those blue jeans or those Converse tennis shoes, whatever that is. But that was it. I was not working 8 hours or 7 hours or late into the night. There was a rule around that. But I still enjoyed my childhood. I was still that cheerleader in high school or whatnot, or that swimmer. But it seems like with this bill, things that I'm reading, the children won't have a life. They'll go to school and go to work, go home, go to bed and start it all over again. To me, that's more difficult than their parents. We have Fred Jones who said, could this bill be a way to avoid raising the minimum wage for adults?
100%. It is backed by the Restaurant Association, written by the Restaurant Association, and they are one of the top people who are against minimum wage. So what we should be doing is paying livable wages to adults, helping women get back into the workforce by making childcare affordable. Going, like you said earlier, about legal immigration and rolling back some of those laws to allow for more immigrants to come in and increase our workforce. Adults, getting adults back into the workforce in livable wages, paying healthcare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those types of things are the changes we should be making as a society, not forcing children to solve our workforce shortage problems.
I agree with that. I agree with that. It's almost like child slave labor. I'm going to just put it out there. So we have Latrice Jones saying, where was the educational representation while this bill was going through the legislature?
Was the educational representation? What is that? I'm not sure what that question means.
Probably somebody from education, from the school districts and so forth to go and testify.
Yeah. You know, it went through through the Senate so quickly that when we started reaching out, the Teachers Association, OEA, they didn't even realize that it happened. I was surprised to see, the Superintendents Association didn't weigh in on it. They wouldn't weigh in on it. And they actually have to legally sign off on allowing the children to work. And when they legally sign off on that, they're technically violating a federal law. And does that put them in some type of gray area in terms of liability? And so I was surprised that they didn't reach out on it or speak out on it. Everybody that we talked to from the child's perspective, the Children's Defense Fund, mental health, organization, they were all mortified by this bill. There was nobody who spoke in favor of it from any of those groups, any of the education groups, any of the mental health groups. Nobody came out in favor of it. And nobody came and spoke, like I said earlier, from the perspective of a child when they were speaking about this bill as a proponent. They were simply speaking about it from the perspective of business.
Wow. If I can ask this question, if you're able to answer it, who brought this bill forward and why, what was the purpose of rushing this through?
It was a Republican senator, and I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but it was clearly a priority bill on the Senate side because it, is number 53, right? So it's very high up in the early on in the numbers, or 30, sorry, Senate Bill 30. So definitely one of their top bills. The only argument, he only came once to committee. We asked him to come back two other times to answer additional questions. He refused. He showed no evidence that the job shortage is actually between the hours of 7 and 9 that are in this, and that there are jobs that can be filled by children. So he didn't even show evidence that this bill would solve the problem he was claiming we needed solved. And the whole conversation was just simply around workforce shortage and how business is key. Adults and, you know, livable wages and healthcare and all of those things. So we need to use the kids in order to just keep our doors open, especially if you are a small business.
Right.
Companies that we're seeing violate these laws over and over again are the large corporations. The McDonald's, they were just fined. Chipotle was just fined. Is the big corporation. So they're the ones who are going to benefit, but also harm our children.
Right. When I hear that, I immediately go as an advocate side, let's not go to McDonald's. Let's not go to Chipotle. Let's not go to these companies who are willing to hire these children. The other thing that comes to my mind, I see a couple more questions in the chat. The other thing that comes to my mind is the fact that the people who are going to fill these positions are the marginalized communities, the oppressed communities, the poor communities, because they need the money to flow in to pay the bills. So those who are proposing these bills, their children aren't working. It's those who actually need the money who we will see out here working I still can't get beyond working at a bar at the age of 14 or 15. That one right there just is amazing to me. Marion Jackson, who's in the Lorain County area, says, will this law cause issues with federal funding?
That's a really good question and something that we brought up numerous times again in committee. What happens, because we're violating a federal law, and we're violating a federal law that specifically states if the state has a child labor law, whichever law protects the child more is the one that prevails. So the federal law is written in a way that it has the child at the center of it no matter what. And that's how it should be. So I see this being a foot in the door to a court case. And that court case becomes a foot in the door to starting to peel back our actual federal fair labor standards practices overall. And I think that ultimate pathway that they are trying to go. And I say that because when we offered amendments to this to protect the child a little bit more while still allowing this to happen, they wouldn't even consider them. And they were simple amendments, like having the teacher, requiring a teacher to report if a child is maybe falling asleep in school or falling behind on grades, having fines for a business who violates this be higher than what it currently is. So they were very simple, you know, amendments, and they wouldn't even consider them. So that tells me right there that they're not thinking about the child at all in this faction. There's a different avenue they're trying to get into here.
This is unbelievable. Is this why they say that, going back to the article in Associated Press, the federal law allows, so a companion measures ask the U.S. Congress to amend its own law. So the U.S. Congress must amend the law to move forward. Am I reading that correctly?
Sorry, I dropped my phone. yes. So this law in Ohio will effectively be moot. We cannot put it into play until Congress would change their laws. So we have some protection there. However, like I said before, what it will do is allow for litigation to occur. And okay. You only need one court to be on the side of the businesses or whomever is in favor of this bill going for that litigation to say yes, and then it moves on forward and starts attacking at the federal level. So that is, you know, so we have a little bit of protection there, but we got to keep in mind that really ultimately they're really trying to chip away at our fair standard labor practices.
Right. Kim Edmondson, no, Ohio is not the only state. Right now in play is Wisconsin, Ohio, and Iowa. In the past 2 years, there's been at least 10 states, according to a report published by left-leaning Economic Policy Institute. So some bills have become law in these other states, but others have been withdrawn or vetoed. I'm at a loss here. I'm just at loss. Anita says, we must protect our children, hidden motives. Dr. Antoinette, she's out of the Baltimore, Maryland area, says, what measures are in place to ensure these employers pay children the federal or state minimum wage, whichever is higher? My concern is that it isn't slavery 2.0.
And well, that's the point. The point is they want to, because they don't want to pay minimum wage. They don't want to pay adults a fair wage and health care and benefits and give them a 40-hour work week and all that comes with that. They want the kids so they don't have to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. And I appreciate your time, but I'm so thankful you're here. What comes to my mind, and I'm sorry, I'm this person who likes to connect the dots. What comes to mind is like, oh, so is this why you want to control the women's body so that we can continue to produce children so then they can end up being your employees at a cheaper wage. I mean, it's like all of this stuff is just like, why is this happening and why now? I mean, yes, I'm radical. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Ms. Sheila told you that. I'm pretty radical. So
I had that exact same conversation with Ms. Sheila. We have talked exactly the same way in connecting those dots, and that seems to be the narrative we're trying to create across the nation, and specifically in Ohio, that, you know, it's all about work, 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 and cheap labor and the most amount of product, and everybody is a product. Nobody is a person anymore. And it's profit over everything else in our society. And we forget, or we don't think about, the people at the end of these pieces of legislation. Man. And there are very real people at the end of all of these pieces of legislation that get passed. And it gets passed without thinking about them, without telling them about them, without explaining how it's going to affect their lives. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we need to bring to light more.
Yeah. So Deborah says, this is also troubling. If we let this go by without using our voice, who knows what will be next? So my final question to you, what's one thing we can do? What's that one call to action that we can do immediately to pay more attention, to stop this bill from passing here in Ohio and in other states? What's that one call to action?
I'm going to give you two. One, okay. Just tell your neighbor. Tell one person today that this bill exists and is happening in Ohio. That's it. Spread that news. You're now aware of it. You need to be a messenger on it. Number two, instead of going on Facebook while you're laying in bed before your alarm goes off for 5 minutes, go on a State House news website instead and just skim through the highlights of the bills that are happening. One of the State House news websites, your local newspaper website, your local... whatever, spend 5 minutes on there instead of on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or any of those other sites. Get the real news.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to take long. You don't have to read the details. You can just read the headlines and that'll give you a lot, but just know about it. And then tell your neighbors, bring it up in conversation. Those two things will make you more powerful with your voice and get Ohioans to understand what is happening in their own state, because so many people don't know and it gets spun so many different ways.
Yeah.
Just tell them the facts. When they just know the facts, they more than not tend to be on the right side of right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So everyone, please tell your neighbor, as soon as we get off of here today, tell your neighbor, spread that news. And then every morning, y'all, right before you come to News in Motion, go on the State House news website, look at the headlines, scroll through. Y'all, we have to start paying more attention to this. Representative McNally, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your expertise, your knowledge on this, and also your call to action for all of our viewers and listeners. Thank you so much. Is there anything we can do for you?
Mm-hmm. No, if you do those two things, you will help me out a lot. So thank you very much. Thank you for having me. Anytime, please reach out. I'm happy to come and talk about any of the issues.
Great. I just need to come to your office with you and Ms. Sheila, because I'm sure the two of you together.
Oh, we'll have a
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
New episodes air on Fridays. Make sure to follow Gail on Instagram, Twitter, and post.news at Gail Dudley. And subscribe to her YouTube, www.youtube.com/Gail Dudley. Tune in to be informed. And make sure to subscribe to Politics and Prose wherever you listen to podcasts, so that you don't miss an episode.